Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and, you know, not to toot our own horn or anything, but it's comforting to know that we here at this podcast have more consistent upload standards than fucking Crunchyroll. And with me I have...
So, who does the dead skeleton in the wall belong to?
And...
Also, why is there a giant yellow ball headed towards us?
Giant yellow ball? What are you doing? Oh yeah, no big deal. That's just Smiling Friends HQ. I think we'll be fine. It's just charging over the motherfucker that looks like a gender-bent version of Zubul from Digital Circus.
Yeah. We'll be fine. We'll be fine. Let's go out and get some ribs.
Man, now I really want ribs. That's not even joke. I just want ribs. I should have gotten some for dinner. So, yeah, that was a fun way to start the season. I will, in fact, once this recording is done, be going to the weekly meeting of the Cult of Silly Samuel.
In other words, expect us to do a Smiling Friends reference every week. So, yeah.
Yeah.
And how. But this is only tangentially a Smiling Friends podcast. I don't know, how do you make an entire podcast that... Anyway, I'll figure out a way. But technically speaking, this is the Decibel Boost podcast. Music podcast, where we talk about music and stuff. Episode 411. How's everyone's week been going?
Oh, not great. I'm very tired because my work has just been going, hey, we're busy, we gotta switch your days around, and also we gotta call everyone in because we're busy, and I'm just so tired and exhausted and tired. I don't like working Mondays. Mondays suck.
And how?
Just give me my Mondays and Tuesdays off, let me work the rest of the week and the weekend, and we'll all be daijoubu. Yeah, it has not been a good week. It's been a very busy week. I can't get anything done if I'm always at work. That sucks.
Yeah, work's a bitch.
Yeah.
Anyway, Mark, what about you?
My week hasn't really been good either, considering at work today, it usually is my off day. Because apparently the guy that was supposed to do it, I guess he just said, I'll find a better job, so fuck it. At least it's what I thought, because like, I don't want to go to work. Damn. But I did. It's just, okay, fuck it. Okay, I do my thing, and which this week has been, whatever. Okay, you already know that I'm still the oldest guy in the podcast, basically 5 years. Five years from being 40. Damn. Yeah.
Happy birthday, though, man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you. Oh, I will say this: like, I have seen something recently, and by that I mean streaming wise. I saw the Naked Gun reboot, and this is actually funny. Yeah, that's really funny. Like, this is the parody movies that's actually tried. And like, okay. This makes me laugh. Like, okay, like the obvious thing that makes me laugh is the whole like, tell Dad it's me, I miss you. Like, but they're saying we miss you. Then the guy that had the old existence picture, like, oh. Yeah, no, I ain't doing that shit. But yeah, it's good to know that. The Naked Gun reboot was actually not that bad, and actually understood, actually did the parody thing the way they did, and like, you know, basically keep a straight face, don't just look at the screen or just, you know, try to be as weird, but you know, try to, you know, act like it's, you know, the whole thing.
Yeah, the magical period, the golden age, before the curse of Seltzerberg.
Yeah. Ugh. And the good, and oh yeah, also good news is, kind of, it's very short. It's like close to a 90 minutes. It's like, you'd be like, oh, okay, that didn't take long.
Nice. Maybe I'll get around to that when I'm not in a spooky mode. Because I don't know if you know this, people, but it's October. I
mean, yeah.
Pumpkins and candy and all kinds of fun spookiness. So, as for me, in terms of my fun spookiness, I've decided that my go-to video game for the month is going to be, of course, Silent Hill F. It is very interesting so far, but I'm only a couple hours in. My schedule has been a bit busy with other things, but as far as other spooky watchings, I saw VHS 94, which had some interesting segments in it. Of course, the best one for me was the one with the human-robot hybrid experimentations that was low-key also a first-person shooter. And maybe I'll binge the rest at some point. I know I really want to watch... At some point, I really got to watch the Flying Lotus segment from VHS 85. You know, the Ozzy's Dungeon bit.
Oh yeah. Are you getting that, too? Like, yeah, I mean, oh, yeah. Getting that series, too. Especially that segment.
Also, speaking of Adult Swim, apparently the newest one that just came out has a segment directed by Casper Kelly. Y'all know, the Too Many Cooks guy.
Oh!
And that weird fireplace Yule log thing. If you know, you know.
I still need to watch the second one. Maybe I'll get around to it with my annual perusing of Christmas-themed movies.
And speaking of watching things, this is your weekly update on the King of the Hill binge. I am now very close to finishing up season 7. So, first things first, it's nice that we're seeing a bit more Luann this season, even if she still kind of gets some of the really story-wise weird episodes, like the underground boxing thing or that whole thing with the dude that runs the pork company. What the fuck? But also, man, that first stretch of the season has a lot of Bobby-centric episodes, like the home ec one, the dog dancing, growing the roses. But, you know, it's at least fun to know that, like, there's a good amount of, you know, fairly more grounded episodes. Also, speaking of which, I just found out that the Luann boxing episode was directed by the creator of Avatar. Oh yeah, I forgot he did stuff before that show.
Funny what happens when you make your way into the business. You get some odd jobs.
Yeah, I mean, let's not forget. Paul used to write for Johnny Bravo.
Yeah, I gotta start somewhere.
Yeah.
Oh, just like Seth MacFarlane.
Also, yeah. The most recent episode I finished was, funnily enough, one that I believe Alex foreshadowed. Dale getting infected with lice. Get wrecked.
Yes, that is probably like one of the better moments of the entire show, just for how unhingedly hilarious it is.
Speaking of unhinged Dale, I did notice at least one thing regarding the season, and that is the episode where he's exterminating at the Megalomart with all the Chuck Mangione's and all. I noticed that it looked different from the other episodes, so I checked on the wiki, and yeah, I'm guessing by the next season is when we get the transition out of cell painting to digital colors and ink.
This is where it unofficially begins. Actually, unofficially begins the previous season with the That's My Purse episode. But yeah, expect more of a digital cells instead of, you know, traditional hand-drawn stuff going forward.
I wonder what that's going to look like when it becomes the more default style of the show, but we'll have to wait until we get there.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And just to wrap it off on a nice bow, get lost, Bill!
Oh, yeah. God, Bill, what the fuck? I mean, that's just the frequent truism in general.
Nobody wants Bill's head on their lawn. Oh, Bill's no good. Bill has lies. Libbity flobbity flu. I suck.
Anyhow. But now let's get into the actual business, starting, of course, Well, the new song discussion for the past week. As always, there'll be a playlist down in the description, so you can follow along with us, pick up some new tunes, mark your calendars for any new albums, all that jazz. So, starting right here at the top, I forget if I brought this up on the podcast, but in case I haven't, only recently this year did I finally get around to playing Death Stranding, which, as a reminder, was Hideo Kojima's first big video game post all the Konami drama. And while playing it, I did have a whole bunch of takeaways, like, man, this game is really weird, and, holy shit, is that Conan O'Brien? And, maybe I should have planned better for traversing the landscape, but fuck you, I like motorcycles. And, but one of the ones that stuck out to me is that, man, Kojima really likes his indie synth pop. Like, that's all over the soundtrack. I forget the main song. I forget if Low Roar is the name of the song or the band that's, like, coming up constantly, but it's there, and, of course, the actual soundtrack has the likes of Churches and The Neighborhood on it. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I bring all this up because in this year, 2025, we got the official sequel to the game over the summer titled, well, subtitled On the Beach, with a title theme that came courtesy of the combined efforts of Danny L. Harrell and, of course, Caroline Polachek. Makes sense. And as of, well, this past week, they have another song together out called Azimuth, which, I gotta remember what that means, because I heard that term growing up a lot as a kid for reasons, but anyway, getting to the song itself, it is kind of this interesting mix of styles. Like, on the one hand, you do have kind of like a lot of the soft, melodic, breathy ambience that you expect from, like, you know, Polachek's vocals and a lot of the more, you know, sparse synthy production, but at the same time, there's almost more of this, like, driving pseudo-techno sort of thing going on. Like, you listen to the kick and it's very, like, you know, driving four on the floor, and of course, as the song swells up more towards the back half, you get a lot more dense techno melodies kind of filling out the mix and all. It's not a bad song, I do like it, although it does remind me I probably should get to On the Beach at some point before the year's over.
Yeah, I'll say it's a decent track. It's just like, I just think it'd be like, I want to say kind of, I don't want to say dubstep, it ain't that, more trance sounding than what usually, it is in a kind of like hyper, damn it, I'm just saying that a bunch of shit. It sounds very simple, pop of them, like very like, very trance, like very like trance pop of them, like sort of in that lane.
Well, like, It's nice and chill when it wants to be, but then the beat comes in and it goes. Pff, 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 pff. There's bass to it. It's a good beat.
Also, just as a funny aside, about an hour ago when I was taking notes for this episode, I was just scrolling through Blue Sky, and you know who was tweeting about this song? Hideo Kojima. That was a funny coincidence, but anyway. Let's move on from that to the next track here. So, as we learned a while back, the band Pupil Slicer is dropping their newest studio album, Fleshwork, on November 7th. We got the title track first, now we have single number 2 here, Nomad. And while that first single was some pretty nice, you know, somewhat mathy, off-kilter groovage, this one's got a bit more of a drive to it. Like, from the start, we get a mix of, you know, these rhythmically unconventional tremolo guitars, mixed in with some blast beats in there, and of course some nice ride grooves that it's swapping sort of back and forth between. And as the song sort of maintains that, you know, very fast tempo, it actually adds in a lot of black metal ambiance along with some, you know, harder deep chugging riffs. It kind of has like the feel of those sort of like screamo black ace type of bands. Like, I think I talked about a couple of them like last year on my year end list, like Infant Island or Artificial Body, I think was the other one. I should have made a note about that, but yeah, like those kinds of bands where it's creating just this very intense melancholy with, you know, the fast beats and just like the, you know, walls of serene melancholy guitar chords and such. It's hitting on the exact right wavelength for me, so I really like the single more than the first one. I am very intrigued as to what kind of work they're going to put into this flesh work. Man, I really got to script this out better. Holy shit.
Yeah, a pretty good cross between black gaze and post-hardcore here. It's heavy and cutting and all kinds of emotional. But the video that feels like Dune? I haven't seen Dune, so I don't know fully, but this is Dune, right?
I think so. Is everybody on drugs?
Probably.
Then it's Dune. All right, now moving on to the next track here. Oh, hey! Would you look at the time? wait, no, not that time. Not that time. Jesus Christ, there's so many fucking clocks here. I never lost track of the... Oh, there it is! The Alchemist O'Clock. I really gotta label these things better.
Yeah. And when, and yep, he wasn't getting his head time, and this time, of course, he's gonna, he's gonna be with you know, Hit-Boy. Hit-Boy, the producing duo that, that often raps. And, well, they're making a comeback again, as if, well, having an EP together, I think they produced an album for Hit-Boy's dad. Last year, which I actually liked, doing is a big hit. But anyway, you got a new joint called Business Merger, because I will say this on the production is more Hit Boy production than Alchemist, because like it does have that. West Coast sound, like, okay, and of course you got Hit-Boy with the verse, like, he started with, eyes closed up, my heart open, I can just get up my chest, get up my heart broken, don't get me heated, no way to get to the inferno, feel the spirit of prodigy, I've been keeping it thorough, which, Alright, and of course, Alchemist got some big boss going. He's like, right now, I'm speaking my chest out, speaking to prevent getting stressed up. Let me give you got the breast out, nasty bitch. I'm working on my different type of textile, everything's super giant, and I bought it. I'm gonna become a reptile. Like good balls here and there. And like, the beast's not bad, and I heard this might I turned into a potential project. Who knows? I mean, they collaborate a lot. And you know, like it was both rapid and the beats is like, I think we know sometimes like this is good when the producers are stepping out on the mic. Which, yeah, I'm good with that.
Yep, good stuff. Now, moving on to the next track here, looks like we got another dose of health food here, courtesy of, Health's upcoming December 11th release, Conflict DLC. And, the track is called Vibe Cop, and it looks like here, much like with, that one collab album, we have Lamb of God's Willie Adler in the studio to belt out some nasty-ass riffs. And when I say nasty riffs, I mean nasty ass riffs. Like, in this song in particular, it is a fucking rager. Like, that guitar is a really constant presence, and the synthetic drums are meeting the energy, constantly bashing hard on the double kicks. Like this is some 2000s industrial here. That's the kind of level of just, that we're talking here. Which, you know, once we get the breaks with all the airy vocals and everything, makes that, outro section even just really fucking just, stink face! This is the most, that's what this song is. This is the most stink face health song we've gotten in a long ass time.
That's one way to put it. And, it's got a good heavy groove to it. Willie Adler on guitar adds in a pretty thick backbone. This is how you get my attention with industrial metal. By just layering it in cyberpunk tech crap. It took a bit of time, but health is finally starting to click with me. This is good. This feels right. It makes me want to be like Oscar and declare, Feliz Jueves! That is a very specific reference to a very specific Evangelion meme from like 20 years ago in Mexico. It's also going to be on a health shirt coming out in December, and I want it.
Oh, man, I'm probably going to have to put that in the fucking cart at some point. But now that we've enjoyed some industrial, now it's time to close out this section with, oh boy, it's Uncle Dave. Alright, so, it was announced a while back by the thrash band Megadeth that their newest album coming out at some point is going to be their final as a band, putting a cap on a 40-plus year-long career that has yielded some classics, and also a whole lot of bullshit. In fact, to repeat a joke I once did for a cold open however many episodes back, Megadeth retiring, why now? Why not 20 years ago? We could have avoided Super Collider that way!
Well, you see, Megadeth did, quote-unquote, retire back in 2002, and then came back in 2004 as a Dave Mustaine solo project under the contractually obligated name of Megadeth. And this is what we've been stuck with ever since.
Like, sure, United Abominations might have been okay, but it was nowhere near good enough to put up with all the rest of the shit. Anyway, but yeah, as we all now know, the final studio album by Megadeth, which is apparently a self-titled album, is coming out January 23rd, 2026. And we have the lead-off single here called Tipping Point. And, I mean, it's more typical of most Megadeth jams these days. Like, okay, it's not Super Collider annoying, thank fuck. But, I mean, like, okay, it opens with a pretty steady set of riffs and your typical drum build-up, you know, building up to a lot of double kicks and tremolo guitars, lots of, you know, D-beats, the occasional guitar solo here and there, just general switch-ups between double-time and half-timing the tempos and such, but good lord, Dave really cannot sing anymore these days, huh? Maybe that's why they're fucking hanging it up, because they finally realize, like, you know, if he pushes himself any further, he's probably going to enter into fucking M. Shadows territory.
Well, age and cancer will do that to you. I've been pondering this for a while, but there is a point where you should go out on a high note. Imagine Sudden Death being the last thing we ever heard of Megadeth. That would have been a great high note to go out on. Instead, we got Super Collider and Dystopia and The Sick, the Dying, and the Dead and this. I mean, it's a late-era Megadeth song that's super heavy on thrashers fueled by musicians who outplay Dave all across the board, especially Dirk Gravirn on the drums. So if this is an album of just tracks like this, then it'll be a maybe not great ending, but a serviceable ending to the two-decade run that has been the Dave Mustaine solo band under the contractually obligated name of Megadeth.
Kind of makes me wonder what Dirk's gonna do once the, you know, Megadeth name is hung up for good. Maybe he can get more Drumeo appearances and he has to learn more 2000s Hot Topic emo bands.
Wouldn't that be nice? But, yeah, the drummer field is getting weirder and weirder this year. Apparently, Grayson from Sepultura is now playing for Trivium because the guy who was playing for Trivium just left. So that's another one on the list for this year. My God,
just is there something in the water? Really, I want to know. I have questions.
I think Mike Portnoy coming back to Dream Theater caused a rift in the space-time continuum that has caused a lot of weird things for drummers everywhere. That's the only reason I can explain.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, I guess we'll check for more of the singles, but, like, yeah, they really should have called it at that point, because, like, okay, you know how, like, Scrubs had a really solid final season, but then, oops, wait, no, actually, there's one more season after that. Imagine if there was, like, four or five more seasons after that conclusion. Or to put this in anime terms, it's like how Food Wars should have stopped at season four.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We did not need all that weird surrogate brother crap. But this is not the time to complain about the poor pacing of long-running television shows. now that the music part is out of the way, we have one news topic here. There's a couple lists we have to get through. One we'll do this week, the other next week. But now it's time for a list of sorts, and that is Record Store Day Black Friday. So, of course, Black Friday, November 28th this year. Also, I'm looking at the website scrolling banner thing. Apparently, did I miss something? When did Post Malone become the ambassador for Record Store Day this year?
They always pick someone to do it every year. And yeah, we're doing it this year because it actually is a little bit better than past lists. Still not by much, but it's a slight improvement over the past couple runs they've had.
You get a B minus, maybe.
Yeah. So, the way I have it sorted out here is kind of my usual, you know, looking at it all in batches of various types. So, I have it sorted RSD limited run, then the RSD exclusive, then RSD first. Now, I'm just going to say this, the limited run stuff is probably, like, the shortest section. So, there's stuff like, there's a couple of vinyls courtesy of Eric Carr from Kiss, specifically Rockology, the Liquid Vinyl Numbered Edition, and Unfinished Business, the Liquid Vinyl Numbered Edition. Let's see, there's Tokyo Gore Police by Ko Nakagawa, which, honestly, I just think that's a fun name. Heh. Tokyo Gore Police. That's probably an anime or something. But anyway, there's Live in London, a release from Bobby Womack. And I think that's about it as far as, like, the super noteworthy stuff. Oh, yeah, there's also a live anthology album from Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, if that's your thing.
That's not an album, that is a t-shirt of said album.
Why?
This is not the only gimmick we have this year. Don't worry, we'll get some more.
Man, y'all are really stretching, but anyway, let's move on to the biggest chunk of the list here, and that is the RSD exclusive materials. Again, I'm just kind of raw dogging it as I go, but worth noting, at least from my perspective, are things like a 40th anniversary EP release for A-ha's Take on Me, with 8 versions of the song, spanning from the initial single release to later interpretations. Let's see, there's the 40th anniversary, 1984 single, 1985 single, 1985 instrumental, 2018 symphonic, 2017 acoustic, 2017 MTV. Okay, you know what this reminds me of? You know how, like, sometimes when a pop artist releases a single, they'll put out, like, an EP of it that's got, like, 8 different versions that's, like, slow down, sped up, acapella, instrumental, and that's just purely to game the TikTok algorithm. This kind of feels like
This is not a new thing. This has been a thing since, like, the 90s.
Yeah, he's gonna have a touch version of it.
Yeah, like, you would get remixes from so many producers back in the 90s.
The 90s.
Take on Me remix by the Alchemist.
That I would listen to. Anyway, let's see what else here. We got Bluey the Album, 5th Birthday Zoetrope Edition. I don't know. Some people are probably like, that's a very specific intersection I recognize, but like, if you're a vinyl collector who also has some interest in Bluey, then this is for you. Limited edition Zoetrope edition of the album for its 5th birthday. Yeah, just a bunch of Bluey tracks. 2x LP, 4,500 copies. Oh god, Benson Boone, why?
Ew.
Yeah, his 2023 EP Pulse. I do not like that man's voice. I do not like that man's voice.
Ow.
There's,
We gave up Brat Summer for this.
This is unironically a better choice, in my opinion. Creed, live in San Antonio, November 14th, 1999. At the Freeman Coliseum. It's got, like, 13 tracks on it. You know, Higher, My Own Prison, Wait, it says my own prison twice. What the fuck? Illusion, you know, that type of stuff.
Probably a typo, but, yeah. Like, why not?
There's a LP with the very best of D-Light. You know, like Grooves in the Heart. And, wait, they have other songs? Oh, yeah, right, I guess they do.
Apparently so, and, yeah, it's hard to believe that this was going to be the defining music of 1991. When the lights out, it's less dangerous!
Holy shit, is it time for my favorite TV show, Nirvana Killed My Career?
Well, it may not apply to the D-Light exactly, but the intersection is close enough to where it could count.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on, there's Deltron 3030, 25th anniversary, which is coming out not just on LP, but also cassette. There's a Dillinger Escape Plan release called Under the Running Board, which is a, you know, three song, 7-inch from, let's see, 2010, has the tracks Mullet Birder, Sandbox Magician, and Abe the Cop. So if you want that, there you go. Let's see, there's Doctor Who, The Last Voyage. You know, if you're interested in Doctor Who radio plays. This one's apparently narrated by David Tennant, so, you know, there you go. Let's see, Dying Fetus Into the Cesspool, which is an unreleased Dying Fetus song on a shaped picture disc. Shaped like what? I don't want to know.
That's the mystery of it all. Maybe it's going to be shaped like a hand?
Maybe it'll be shaped like Mr. Boss's son Jason. let's see. Here we have from Danny Elfman, Big Top Pee Wee, the original soundtrack album.
If only it were the actual movie everyone likes and not the movie that people think is just fine.
Not the finest hour, but anyway, moving on from that, there's Fleetwood Mac Live 1975, a bunch of Fred Again stuff, there's, oh god, Ghost, their new album Skeleton, a fucking picture disc.
I mean, that album was good, it was fun.
I mean, it's gotta be better than whatever the fuck President was doing. You'll get your turn. We call that foreshadowing, kids. George Harrison's Living in the Material World. There is... let's see. Iconopop is releasing a vinyl for the single I Love It featuring Charlie XCX, which... How long ago was that song? Like, a decade at least?
2012? I think that's when Girls started.
Yeah.
13 years.
Yeah. I think the song played a lot of movie trailers or commercials or whatever, like, it was well, basically, it's from a time that, you know, you got to try to take on a hook on a song, you get noticed.
May 2012, good lord.
That's when I graduated high school. But I guess you gotta take baby steps before you can unleash Brad Summer on the world. From the Vince Guaraldi Trio, there's Charlie Brown Christmas 60th anniversary on a pop-up gatefold LP.
So, Nito.
From In Flames, there's a live release from 2024. In Excess, live from Royal Albert Hall, London, 1986. Oh my fucking god. Even in the record store day list, I can't escape Jelly Roll.
No. Again.
Go away. Please, go away.
Everything is terrible. Let's see. There is a Billy Joel vinyl live from Long Island, specifically Nassau Coliseum, December 29th, 1982. That's where they used to host Warped Tour back when it was a touring thing. Anyway, what else? Oh, hey, from Larry June, 2 Chainz, and The Alchemist, we have Life is Beautiful, Chopped, Not Slopped.
Oh, yeah, I mean, oh yeah, I know what it is. Like, Okay, I got the one here. It says, "Chris on a stunning trenchless purple vinyl with a 12x12 insert. It's shot by Houston Royalty. OG Ron C and the Chop Stars, as in, you know, it sounds true. Most of y'all know what Chop the Screen is, but it's called Chop, not Slap. So yeah, basically that, which explains the purple. Also, also the album is good. Yeah, all the album is good. Yes, even 2 Chainz on it is good. I think 2 Chainz is better now. Well, 2 Chainz is like a fine. Well, I don't say fine wild, but I say the older he gets, the better his rap it is. He's just used to be.
Fair enough. I mean, you throw enough stuff at the wall, eventually things have to start sticking.
Yeah, that and also leaving Def Jam.
Yeah, that was probably good for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Anyway, from Kesha, we have her 2024 Spotify Singles Holiday cover of Lindsey Buckingham's Holiday Road. The B-side is a cover version of Have Yourself a Very Merry Christmas that was originally uploaded to her YouTube channel in 2010. 2010, Jesus Christ, fuck. Really that long ago.
That was 20 or 20, well, 19 or 20.
Anyway, let's see. We have from Led Zeppelin, Trampled Underfoot, a reproduction of an original UK 7-inch. And yeah, that is the name of the song. 6,100 copies. So it would be plenty available. Okay, fittingly, the Ambassador Post Malone, A Long Bed, which has just 9 tracks from the digital deluxe version of the album F1 Trilogy.
Oh, also.
This is the first time these are being released on physical format, neon orange vinyl. What do you mean digital deluxe?
Also, this,
there's more?
It's the country Post Malone.
Ugh. Ugh, good lord. Let's see, from Matchbox 20, we have Mad Season Live 2001, Bruno Mars, It's Better If You Don't Understand, his debut EP, which featured Talking to the Moon, apparently. I always forget that was a later song.
Oh yeah, that was a song. I thought it was later too.
There's a remix of Notorious B.I.G.'s Big Papa on, you know, 12-inch vinyl. Well, okay, it's actually a bunch of remixes. Again, it's kind of the same thing. So, club mixes, a club mix of the remix, instrumentals, radio edits, remix of the instrumental. Every time I read those track lists, you know what's a better metaphor? It's like, it's kind of like how Taco Bell has, like, 20 different ways of selling you the same combination of meat, cheese, sour cream, and beans. I'm still gonna eat it anyway, but like, you know.
Yeah,
I know who I am as a person.
Yeah, and Ross, since you mentioned that shit, same thing is on this this next one. From Old Dirty Bastard, Shimmy Shimmy Ya / Book the Zoo, a single which also has their verses of this same song. So you got the extended version, the stripped version, instrumental, extended version, instrumental, extended mix acapella. And that's Wilkins Zoom strip version, instrumental. The Lord Digger remix. Lord Digger remix, instrumental.
See, I told you.
See, at a certain point, I just keep expecting to find, like, I don't know, maybe 1 year for Record Store Day, they're going to release, a full vinyl of, like, the fucking Mermaid Man and Barnacle Boy theme from SpongeBob. And it will, in fact, have the special dance mix.
Special dance mix? Hey, you know what? I'm going with the you know what? No,
the Pirate Acapella remix.
Fuck.
The Patrick Star remix.
The I don't know the fucking
the Bubble Bass remix.
I don't fucking know the week the week. What's the Ween? I mean the Ween remix. I don't know the Ocean Man remix. Fuck it. Let's do that.
The Ripped My Pants remix of the Ocean Man remix. Okay. We gotta get back on track here. We're going too deep into the weeds here. So, okay. Woosa. Alright, let's get back on track here. So, there is a release from Pelican, which consists of their fourth studio album, What We All Come to Need, as well as the preceding EP, Ephemeral, which apparently hasn't been available on vinyl for 15 years. But, yeah, same thing with, like, the actual What We All Come to Need vinyl. So you get all these tracks here, so much stuff. And, you know, now that I'm trying to remember, I'm looking at the album art. I think it was one of the songs on this album that was the closing theme song for Dead Space 3. I could be wrong about that. But let's continue on. Prince and the Revolution, Around the World in a Day. You know, Prince's seventh album, the second credited to Prince and the Revolution.
Actually, these are the singles. It is a box set of the singles for the album, America, Pop Life, Paisley Park, and Raspberry Beret. And it says here, brand new exclusive 7-inch single of For the Tears in Your Eyes from the We Are the World album. So, yeah, there you go. That's neat.
Each 7-inch is presented on a unique vinyl color and presented in their 7-inch sleeves in a clamshell box.
Limited to 1,985 units because that was the year that album came out. So, yeah.
Let's see. For, you know, the girls and the gays, there's a Chapel Roan release, The Subway / The Giver. What else? There is, from Alan Silvestri, film composer extraordinaire, we have the Back to the Future trilogy. There are scores for all three films on vinyl, 1,900 copies. Released for the very first time on Doc Brown vinyl. That phrasing terrifies me for reasons I can't fully articulate. Anyway, Spinal Tap, we have an exclusive vinyl for the upcoming film sequel, The End Continues. Has three RSD exclusive tracks, new artwork, and a limited edition poster. Yeah, look at all those
tracks. I am a bit perturbed that it is missing the quintessential greatest Spinal Tap song, Bitch School.
Yeah, it's funny. Let's see, what else? Touche Amore, we have I think it's some kind of live project, Chasing Brightness, the Complete BBC Sessions, 2011 to 2025. Yeah, these are all live BBC performances that I'm guessing come from various years. There's a whole lot of various artists, mainly a bunch of jazz, Metal Machine Music. Isn't that the fucking Lou Reed album that, like, killed his fucking career?
Let me read it here. Inspired by Lou Reed's yada yada yada, formidable lineup of sonic provocateurs, Aaron Dilloway, Drew McDowell, Thurston Moore, Pharmacon, Norita, and Mark Silatroff, to explore the outer edges of distortion, feedback, and electronic texture. So, just a bunch of people making their own sort of esoteric and wild noise music.
Fair enough.
Oh, okay then. Thurston Moore's on here. That's cool.
All right. Then in the rest of the various artists, there is Punk Goes Acoustic. I'm not clicking to find out what it is. We have Rent, the original motion picture soundtrack. I think I would rather listen to that than whatever Punk Goes Acoustic is. And I don't even know what Rent is. Well, besides a musical. There is Watchmen, music from the motion picture.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, the very, very, I still have highly mixed opinions on that film, but yeah, the soundtrack, which licensed music from bands like My Chemical Romance, Simon and Garfunkel, Casey and the Sunshine Band, the Glass Ensemble. Oh, hey, look at that, Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah.
Yeah.
That's.
I will say it's still weird they play I'm Your Boogeyman in that one scene. It's like, the fuck is gonna do with what's going on? And I'm gonna say this, the best song in that movie is even in the soundtrack. It's in the end credits. You should have had First We Take Manhattan. It makes sense. Also that song bops.
Speaking of movies, we have a double LP picture disc release for the upcoming film sequel, Wicked for Good. I still need to watch the original.
I watched the movie a couple months ago. I get it now. I am unironically excited for it.
All right, fair enough. Let's see what else is RSD exclusive. I think we're at the tail stretch here. There's a live release from Scott Weiland, If I Could Fly / Barbarella. Rest in peace. Again, live in London from Bobby Womack. Some more on Zevon. Oh, here's an... This is actually the last thing listed for, you know, if you're sorting out RSD exclusive. We have Avatar The Last Airbender, Book One Water, music from the animated series from composer Jeremy Zuckerman.
Oh.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
That's pretty cool. I can fill out the rest of this section just for the odds and ends pieces of notes that I managed to jot down in here. So there is a 7-inch picture disc dual single from Illenium In My Arms and Refuge. It's a picture disc single. That's kind of neat. Phil Collins has just a fantastic title. 12 Inchers. Yeah, it is just a 6-track EP of extended mixes of tracks from No Jacket Required called 12 Inchers. That's neat. There's a Alice Cooper live album from 1975. That's neat, I suppose. The SpongeBob movie, Sponge Out of Water, the soundtrack, 10th Anniversary Edition.
The sequel's a decade old.
That's the second movie. The fourth movie comes out this year.
Wait, was that the one that someone leaked the entirity of on Twitter
No, that was something else. That was something else.
I mean, that was a Netflix movie.
Yeah, but there's another movie coming to theaters like in December.
I didn't know that shit, but then again, they didn't know that they release a SpongeBob anything nowadays. Can you blame us?
Yeah.
Well, personally speaking, I'm looking forward to the best SpongeBob thing happening in the next year, DLC for Sonic Racing Cross Worlds. I'm only half joking about that. This game is actually kind of really fun.
Okay, then. Continuing on, we have another live album from The Doors from 1968 in Copenhagen. That's neat. We have the original Freewheelin' Bob Dylan for all you Timothy Chalamet fans. I don't get who you people are. From En Vogue, there is Born to Sing, which is the debut album.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty neat. The Flaming Lips, they have a live album coming out from last year. For some reason, we're getting three live session things from Fred again. I couldn't tell you why. George Harrison, Living in the Material World. Sure, I guess if you want more Beatles stuff, it isn't the Beatles, but it's close enough to the Beatles. Sure. What else is there? Motley Crue has Home Sweet Home, an EP picture disc of the song Home Sweet Home, for all you Hot Tub Time Machine fans out there. Curtis Mayfield has the 1970 self-titled debut album, Curtis. That's just good classic music right there. We have a picture disc LP from Municipal Waste, Massive Aggressive. It is their second album, or their final album. I'm getting my words all jumbled up. Their final album from Earache Records from 2009 on vinyl again. That's kind of neat. Gimmicks. How about Wicked branded Crosley Cruisers? Don't buy them. Do not buy them. Friends don't let friends buy Crosleys.
I think
they do not.
They're bad.
They're very cheap. They're cheap. The styluses have way too much weight on them. They will scratch your discs.
Okay.
Just don't. Just so cheap. Don't. Spend the money on a good turntable instead.
In other words, it's cheap but not in a good way.
Crosleys are especially cheap. Like, you see, you can buy them for like $60 and that's really cheap.
You see, record players are a lot like furniture. Sometimes it's just worth it to shell out the extra dough. But, yeah, with that business done, now there's the last stretch here, which is RSD first, which means that's when these things are coming out first, but then, you know, they're probably going to be on the market later. So starting off with... Oh, God, Asking Alexandria.
Ew.
Self-titled album from 2017, first after the return of original vocalist Danny Warsnop, who totally has not done anything to trash his reputation in the years since then. Oink.
Yeah.
Anyway, there is Pilot Talk 2, courtesy of Currency.
Oh, yeah.
That's their fourth album from November 2010. So, yeah, now it's got a vinyl release and stuff.
Yeah, the walk rap era was really something. And so a lot of people that they're still talking about now, even if they're big or not. Like, I mean, you know, like, you know, people like Currency and Tyler Creator and all things everybody's talking about, like during that era. Like, yeah.
Alright, moving on from that, we have Big Lizard in My Backyard 40th Anniversary Edition from The Dead Milkmen. Aw, man, but I like The Milkman. From Disclosure, we have a release for The Singles Volume 2, featuring, you know, several of their latest tracks, including She's Gone, Dance On, Into Minds, and Arachnids, among many others. Well, okay, there's like six songs here, but you know what I mean. From Dr. Dre, we have Compton, a soundtrack by Dre, Instrumental Edition.
Hmm.
You know, the soundtrack to the, it's his 2015 album. I didn't realize it was still making albums. I thought he was just like
a producer. Well, I mean, he made the album back in 2015, and then that's it. Like,
yeah. I remember that album for being the album that basically launched with Apple Music in 2015, and that's all I can say about it. It was there at the launch, and that's it.
I mean, the album was fine. I mean, the album was fine. That's, well, this, I mean, there's some cuts that I like.
Yeah.
Also,
but the thing is, fine is... Yeah. Below the standard.
It was the first time I heard Anderson .Paak on a record, which, well, let me get on the rest.
Yep. Now, moving on, we have a live release from Billie Eilish, 10-inch EP, 20,000 copies, live recordings from Amazon's Songline series, specifically live versions of Skinny, Wildflower, Birds of a Feather, and L'Amour de ma vie. From Glorilla, we have A Thang. God, I hope I'm saying that right. But, her gold-certified mixtape featured Glow, All Dare, Wannabe remixed with Megan Thee Stallion and Cardi B. First time released on vinyl, Neon Yellow to be precise. So, yeah, that could be neat. Let's see. From Jazz Sabbath, we have Jazz Sabbath Live. First live recording of... Adam Wakeman's project. Oh, Adam Wakeman was this? Oh, damn, nice. So, yeah, you get a bunch of these, jazz versions of Black Sabbath tunes. Apparently it says this was recorded at a legendary jazz club in the Netherlands called Paradox. 25 shows in their 2025 tour. Neat. From King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard, we have Live in 24... Having Fun Records has made a paper airplane shaped record for Black Friday, mainly taking from Flight B-741, but like, okay, so four different performances, three, San Diego, Boston, and two recordings from Vancouver, but y'all gotta release, like, 5 more albums. You're still falling behind Boldy James, and you don't know if he's gonna pull a late-in-the-year upset and drop, like, 20 more albums. Anyway, getting back on track, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, the live anthology from The Vaults, Volume 1, their Satanic Majesty's Request from the Rolling Stones, that being a release from 1967. We have the early years from Linda Ronstadt, Treats, that being a 15th anniversary release for the album of the same name from Sleigh Bells. Apparently its first pressing since 2012. Comes with a 16-page booklet and poster insert. From Ringo Starr, we have Choose Love 20th Anniversary Edition. Oh, hey, speaking of 2 Chainz, we have the anniversary release of his 7th mixtape, True Real
Legend. Yeah, and also the first one where his verse under, well, his now name, because back then he was known as, well, Titty Boy. Yeah, and also looking at it like, look at the track, it's like, this is definitely some 2010 shit. Like, you got, you know, like, let's see, you got tracks like Sofa featuring Khalifa, Stunt featuring Meek Mill, Spin It featuring T.I., Murder featuring Cray Sean. Wow. That's a name I ain't heard in a long time.
Yeah, neither have I.
We even have Birdman on here. Remember when Birdman actually did music?
Yeah.
Boy, howdy, do I not.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's at least all the stuff that I think is noteworthy. If there's anything you want to fill in as far as the RSD first, be my guest.
I honestly don't. Like, yeah, this the first and limited sections are kind of lacking this time around. Like, the meat and potatoes is in the exclusive section. Everything else, not a whole lot here. It's why I said the list this year is a small improvement. Not a big improvement, but you did just enough to get us to talk about it again for a half hour.
Whee!
Yeah. So, with that list out of the way, now that is about it for the news this week, so that just leaves one more thing to touch on here, and that is the new album releases for the week of October 10th, 2025. First up, from Testament, we have their newest album, Parabellum, from the up-and-coming extreme metal band Sanguisugabog. We have their new album, Hideous Aftermath. From synthwave producer Perturbator, we have Age of Aquarius. From singer Khalid, there's the new album, After the Sun Goes Down. And last but certainly not least, we have a posthumous release from Mobb Deep with Infinite. Well, at least posthumous, yeah, for Prodigy, yeah. But you know what I mean. Anyway, now it's time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
The usual places, as always. The Discord, other Discords, my other show, and the place where we're all yelling at the CEO for being stupid and terrible and awful. You know, like every other social media platform, except here we're not at DEFCON 1, we're at DEFCON 5.
Yeah. Anyway, or Mark, what about you? DEFCON 4,
depending on how you see it all out like that.
I do not know how DEFCONs work, so yes.
Of course, anyway, you find Mark, me on the Sky of Blue at Max Adam Media, and of course on my site, my hype1.com, where, of course, I am still looking at, you know, the new anime season coming up. Hopefully something to come on time, because I'm comfortable can do that shit. I mean for real. It took you a million hours to get my hero up, which I might be up by 4 a.m. because that's how it fucking airs. But no, and no fucking subtitles. You know, fucking subtitles. See, this is why I shit on you the hardest. Like, I shit on you and Hulu for that cat's eye shit. And these Amazon's doing some good. And Netflix still got this shit, but yeah. High Dive is just there. High Dive is just doing his own thing. He's waving at us.
Yeah, and hopefully High Dive actually has subtitles with normal fucking font size, Tojima.
Yeah, the font. I mean, it's readable, but damn, you're gonna be that big. Okay, I'm done.
Too readable. Yeah, but I mean, good show, though, so far. Well, that, and also the unhinged
Santa. Oh, yeah, oh, 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 yeah, yeah. Yeah, anyway, sorry. As, that was a good one.
Anyway, as for me, you can find me on Blue Sky, Instagram, etc. at Robert Barracuda. You can email me robert@surrealresolution.com for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Be sure to follow us on Blue Sky at Surreal Resolution. Visit the website surrealresolution.com for written articles, this podcast, podcast domain, all of that good stuff. And of course, be sure to jump into the Discord server so you can chat about various things and always be reliably immediately notified whenever new things go up on the site. Anyway, that'll about do it for this week. We'll of course be back later on in the week with the album roundup for September 2025. And, you know, next week with more of the usual business. So until then, man, I sure am glad that I am also not Microsoft these days.